All right, everybody, get ready for this one because today we're really going deep on this study, and it's kind of wild when it comes to treating head and neck cancer. You know, you wouldn't think this, but there's a link, a potential link between obesity and better outcomes. Like better.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's one of those things where you kind of have to stop and think about what we thought we knew. We're talking head and neck squamous cell carcinoma.
NSCC?
Yeah, HNSCC, exactly. And especially when it comes to, you know, late stage.
Oh, absolutely.
It can be really tough.
And that's where these treatments, these immune checkpoint inhibitors, the ICIs, are showing so much promise, right?
Yeah. I mean, in theory, it's like, wow, you're harnessing the body's own defenses to fight cancer. Like, how do you get better than that? But it's only about 20% of patients with advanced HNSCC that see these amazing results.
Right. So then it's like, okay, what's going on there? What makes these patients different?
Exactly. And that's where a study like this is where it comes in.
Okay, so tell us about it.
So they looked at a bunch of patients, over 160 patients,
yeah,
with HNSCC who were treated with ICIs between 2012 and 2023. So pretty recent data.
Very cool.
And it was a retrospective cohort study, meaning they kind of went back and looked at data that had already been collected.
Oh, okay. So backtracking through records like a detective.
Exactly.
I like it.
So they used a database called TrinetX.
Okay.
And it has information from 13 different healthcare organizations across the U.S.
Wow.
But the key here, and this is what I think is really interesting, is that they didn't just take this big group of people. They really focused on matching patients as closely as possible. So think like age, sex, race, smoking history, whether they had heart problems.
Oh, wow. So they're really trying to control for all those other factors.
Exactly.
To really isolate the BMI piece.
Precisely.
Fascinating.
So they ended up with these two groups of 83 patients. One group with what they considered a normal BMI, the other with obesity.
Okay, and this is where my ears really perked up when I was reading this. Like, what did they find? What happened?
Right. So this is where things get kind of crazy.
Okay.
What they found was that there were some really, really big differences in survival rates between these two groups.
You're talking about the patients with obesity.
The patients with obesity at 6 months, 3 years, even at the 5 year mark, had significantly better survival rates.
Significantly. We're not just talking like a little, you know, margin of error here. This was like a big difference.
It was a big noticeable difference. And it really does make you stop and go, wait a minute, because we often think of obesity as being associated with worse health outcomes, right?
All right. So this is kind of like saying, hold on, in this specific situation, it might actually be an advantage.
Yeah. It challenges a lot of what we thought we knew.
This is amazing. Okay, so clearly we need to unpack this. We need to talk about like the why.
Mm-hmm.
What are the potential reasons for this?
We got to get into those details.
But for that, you'll have to join us in part two. Okay, so we've got this medical mystery on our hands, right? Obesity linked to better survival rates in some head and neck cancer patients.
Yeah.
I mean, what gives?
It is a real head scratcher. So like with any good mystery, we've got to look for explanations.
Right. So what are the researchers saying? What could possibly explain this?
Well, one of the ideas they're floating around is this concept of a nutritional reserve.
Okay, so like backup supply.
Exactly. You know, think of it this way. Someone with more body fat, they've got more stored energy, right?
Right.
And that could be really, really important, you know, when you're talking about cancer treatment, which can be just brutal on the body.
Right, absolutely. Chemo, radiation, all of that. It takes a toll.
Big time. So so having that extra reserve, it might help those patients kind of weather the storm, so to speak. You know, better withstand the side effects, stay stronger overall.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so that's one potential explanation. What's the other big one?
Okay, so this is where things get even more interesting, I think, because it really gets into the whole relationship between obesity and the immune system.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, this is where I'm like really, really interested to hear more.
Right. Because there's more and more evidence that obesity, as crazy as it sounds, can actually change the immune system itself.
Oh, wow.
And these changes might actually make those tumors more vulnerable to ICIs.
Okay, you've got my attention. How does that work?
All right, so one of the key players here is a hormone called leptin.
Okay.
You might have heard of it, you know, with appetite and metabolism.
Right, yeah. Isn't that the one that's produced by fat cells?
Yes, exactly. You got it. But here's the thing about leptin. It also seems to be involved in regulating our immune cells,
Interesting.
specifically these T cells,
Okay.
you know, those white blood cells that are really important for a healthy immune response,
Right.
and the same ones that those ICIs they rely on.
Oh, okay. So more fat, more leptin, more T cell action. Is that kind of the general idea?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. See, researchers think that obesity might actually lead to something called a T cell exhaustion.
T cell exhaustion. Doesn't
Uh-oh.
sound good.
It doesn't in a lot of ways. But stay with me for a second. Imagine your immune system, it's like an army, right? And it's always on alert. It's got to be ready to fight off threats. And these T cells, they're like the special forces of your immune army. They're highly trained. They're ready to go. They're there to eliminate specific targets.
Okay, I'm with you. So if someone has obesity, their T cells are just working overtime.
Exactly. Over time, they're constantly battling. And so just like any soldier who's been fighting for a long time, they can get worn out, they get tired, they get less effective, they're exhausted.
Right.
But, and this is the really interesting part, this exhaustion might actually make them more sensitive to the signals from those immune checkpoint inhibitors. Yeah, so it's almost like you know, those exhausted T cells, they're kind of primed to respond. Because they're already in this heightened state of activity, you know?
So it's like they're more receptive to that wake-up call from the ICIs.
Exactly. And then they can target and eliminate those cancer
That
cells.
is incredible. Wow. Okay. So much to consider here. But I think it's important to, we always have to acknowledge the limitations of a study like this.
Of course.
Right. We can't get too carried away. And like you said earlier, this was a retrospective study. They were looking back at data. What are some other, caveats that we should be keeping in mind?
Sure. So one thing is that this particular database, they couldn't really differentiate between all the different types of head and neck squamous cell carcinoma.
Okay. And why is that important?
Well, because some types are just more aggressive, you know,
Right.
than others, and that could play a role in how well they respond to treatment.
That makes sense. What else?
Another thing is that they couldn't account for any weight loss that might have happened during the
Well,
study.
this is a good point. Like they might have started this study with obesity, but if they lost a significant amount of weight during treatment, would that change things?
Right, exactly. And we don't know. This study couldn't factor that in.
Okay, so it sounds like we definitely need more data. We need more research to really like get to the bottom of this.
Yeah. Absolutely. But that doesn't mean that this isn't an important study, you know, it's opening up all these new avenues for us to explore.
Totally. It's challenging our assumptions and making us think differently. I love it.
Exactly. That's what it's all about.
So for our listeners out there, you're probably thinking, okay, this is all very interesting, but what does this mean for me? Should I be gaining weight? No, I'm just kidding. Don't answer that.
Please don't. No. It is really tempting when you hear about a study like this to be like, okay, this applies directly to me. I'm going to change my life. But it's so important to remember that everyone is different.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 1,000 times. Yes.
This is not a time for do-it-yourself health, right?
Yeah.
Talk to your doctor. Your doctor knows you. They know your medical history. They know your risk factors. They can help you make the best decisions for you.
So we've definitely established don't go changing your diet based on one study, right?
Right, not at all.
But I think what's so cool about this, for our listeners, what should they be taking away from all of this?
I think this study, it really highlights the potential here. Like we're really just scratching the
Oh,
surface.
absolutely. It's like, how much do we really know about how individual factors can influence treatment?
Yeah, and if obesity, if that can like have these effects on the immune system, who knows what else is playing a role, you know?
It's true. Like, is it genetics? Is it lifestyle choices?
Yeah.
Environment? I'm sure it's probably all of those things combined.
It makes you wonder if we've just been approaching cancer treatment from this like one size fits all perspective for too long, you know?
Yeah. It's like we're trying to solve this complex problem, but we're missing like half the pieces of the puzzle.
Exactly.
And this is like finding a new piece, and suddenly we can see, oh, there's a whole other part of the picture we weren't even looking at.
And that's what's so exciting. Like this isn't just about, you know, obesity. This is about recognizing how complex the human body is and using that knowledge to personalize treatment, you know, to actually tailor it to the individual.
I love that. It's like, instead of just a standardized prescription, it's a truly personalized approach. It's like, what makes you you? Let's factor that in.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, of course, there's still so much more research that needs to be done, but this gives us a glimpse of what's possible.
Totally. Like, researchers, medical community, we got to keep asking these questions. We got to keep digging deeper.
And honestly, for our listeners, I think that's the message too. You know, be your own advocate, ask questions, be curious. Because the more we all learn about how all of this works, the body, the immune system, how treatments work, the closer we get to better outcomes.
So well said. And that's all the time we have for today's deep dive into head and neck cancer and this whole surprising thing with obesity. I have a feeling this is a conversation that's going to keep going, you know, as more research comes out. But as always, keep those brains buzzing, everybody, and we'll see you next time for another deep dive.